You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today, and today's show is especially special because our guest today is marvelous, and all of you are marvelous, and we're all here together. Our precious guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Thanks for having me. My name is Hayden Starbuck, and I am a lifelong creative and nature girl living in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I am so thankful and grateful that you invited me to be part of your beautiful podcast. And we had a beyond beautiful conversation. And I'd love it if you would share that with our friends who listen so that they can listen to you as well.
Yeah, to this date, you're still the only guest that made me cry. You touched my soul.
Oh, bless you.
I'm getting teary thinking about it. My podcast is called The Curious Creatrix, and it's about all things creative and the people that are creative. And you can hear me on any of the major platforms or go to my website, which is The Curious Creatrix.
Perfect. That's just perfect. Your use of two words, I want to make sure we really talk about this. The first one is creative. What does that word mean to you?
You know, it's kind of a broad word, isn't it?
I
think it's just how we show up in life.
Mm.
I think a lot of people that don't consider themselves creative think it's painting or singing or dancing, but it's how we make decisions and the choices we make. When you're a baby and you're born, you're just kind of there. And then you make a life for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that making, you are creating. So it's just how we are. It's who we are.
I'm fascinated by that approach because I meet a lot of people who tell me they're not creative. You know, they just say, I'm not creative. And then they make the most beautiful Sunday dinner you've ever eaten.
Exactly.
Or I love the fact that they... You know, their attitude toward life turns everything into a party. And you're like, but you are creating, you know, therefore you are creative. So how can we stimulate our own creativity?
I mean, I think it's really about kind of being aware of yourself and what you're doing, not functioning on autopilot. I mean, obviously there's a time and a place where autopilot is very helpful. But if you can just wake up to those moments and go, oh, okay. You know, like you said, the person whose attitude is a party, they have a choice. They can be Mr. and Mrs. Grumpy Pants and bring everyone down, or they can choose to be delightful and make the best of things.
Right.
So just being aware of yourself and how you are and what you're doing, that I think is just the best thing, and following fun. If something brings you joy, that's a good choice.
Sure.
If you feel really crappy about the choices you're making, you're not going to create a life or an environment for the people around you that is conducive to the world being a better place.
When did you know that you were a creative?
Wow. Okay, I had a couple of things. Professionally, I had been earning my living. I mostly do silversmithing, but I do other things as well, obviously. I was having a conversation in a gallery with a couple of other artists. And I'd been earning a living as a professional artist for years at this point. And it dawned on me while we're having this conversation, I made it. I'm an artist. So I think consciously that was the first time, but we're talking, I mean, I was in my 30s or 40s. So at some point before that, obviously, I must have tapped into it somewhere. I was pursuing it, but I don't think I owned it until that moment.
So what gave you the freedom or the liberty to own it?
I'm trying to go back to a moment in time. So I grew up pretty easygoing. You know, my parents gave me a lot of freedom. I spent a lot of time in the woods by myself, only child. So I was very conscious of when situations didn't feel right or didn't work for me. And, you know, you go through the whole school thing and then you go to college and, well, maybe you go to college, not for everybody. And I got into college. I did it because I was supposed to. And I looked around and I'm like, who's having fun? Who's doing something I want to do?
Yeah.
And I thought the artists looked really cool. I just thought they just seem happy. They seem
right.
They seemed individual. So at that moment, it's like, I'm just going to walk in that direction. I'm going to give myself permission to try it. And here we are many years later.
Wonderful. It's wonderful where you are. And I have so much of that resonates with me because when I entered my MFA program, the artists were so happy. They were just fulfilled. They were, and the thought that came to mind when you were speaking was they were whole people. Whole people.
Yeah.
They weren't just, you know. And this is wonderful. There's another word that you use, and I really love to discuss it with you. What does curious mean?
Oh, yeah. I almost feel like, so creativity is how we do things or what we're doing. I think curiosity is, it's almost like it's that fire that makes us want to explore the world. It's like little kids picking up rocks and seeing if there's bugs underneath or, you know, how does the world work? What makes something happen? Oh my gosh, I love watching people's brains work. it's a curiosity about, which is using the word to describe the word, but how we are in the world, what's happening. For me, it's so much about just what makes me tick. If I'm not interested in something, I'm not going to be kind of all in, you know. If I'm curious about something, try and stop me. I'm there. I'm buying into it, you know.
I wonder if you see any connection between intuition and curiosity. Like, is there just something within you that causes you to be interested in, you just feel, this is something I want to pursue. I want to know more about this.
Yeah, well, I definitely use intuition. Like I said, if something's not working for me, then that's my intuition saying it's not working, right? Intuition and curiosity. They seem like they're really good bedfellows.
Yeah, right. They do. And I just wonder because so much of natural curiosity, there seems to be a lot in society these days that suppresses that. Don't ask questions. Don't dig any deeper. Just, you know, do as you're told or do this or do that. And maybe that's what robs us of our joy, do you think?
Well, that's certainly the education I got. And I feel like in my life, I've had a lot more freedoms than a lot of people have had. So if I felt it, I can't imagine people that grew up in a more stifled environment. That's like a big thumb sitting on top of you going, don't wiggle.
Right.
Don't be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, right. You mentioned children and the wonderful fountain of curiosity that children have. How can we maintain that curiosity even throughout our lives?
Yeah, well, it's a pendulum. I mean, there are times when, you know, I'm nose to the grindstone, got to pay bills, got to do whatever, got to whatever. I've got to do an adult thing. But I think any time that we pursue or engage in something that brings us pleasure, then we're being a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're laughing and you're full of delight and curiosity and following your intuition, those are really childlike. I mean, I think of children as just sort of being the essence of who we are. The you know, the pure, sweet side of, I mean, well, I guess even if you're angry and disappointed, that's also very much the essence. But
it's a purer version. It's a pure version.
Yeah. There you go.
We have a toddler. And
you must be so wise about children at this point.
I don't know about that, but I know this, that he laughs all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and one day somebody said to me, what's he laughing about? And I got ready to try to see or whatever, and I said, wait, shouldn't it be the opposite? Like, shouldn't we be, like, glad people are happy and laughing and smiling and enjoying something? And it turned out he was enjoying a puzzle that he has. And wouldn't it be better if we were saying by default, our default setting was joy? You know, like, in other words, we would be worried if someone was, you know, bitter or unhappy or distressed, as opposed to, you know, what are you so happy about?
Why is your friend not laughing?
Right, exactly. Why are you not smiling? Why are you not happy? Why are you not at peace right now? You know, what's happening? Yeah. And so I love your approach because I see right away that it would bring so much better quality of life if we started with joy as the default mode.
Well, and the thing is, the things that brought me true joy when I was a kid, they still do that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's a really simple formula. I can just keep going out and doing those things that continue to bring me joy. Hello, life accomplished.
Genius, Congratulations, you just won at life, you know?
Exactly, you got the golden ticket.
That's it, but here's the thing that we have to do too, and I see this in you, and I think you're a tremendous role model in this wonderful area, is that you're a very brave and courageous person, and that you're willing to be yourself. You're willing to be authentic and transparent, and you're not pressured by whatever else is going on in society that says you should be different. And so I would love it if you would share some of your courage in that area with us.
You know, I appreciate what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't see it as courage so much as just self protection.
Oh, awesome.
I want to be happy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I have rose-colored glasses and every moment is glorious, joyful, whatever. But my set place that I'm, you know, that the bar I'm trying to get to and stay at is a place of contentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and happy is a little bit, you know, a little bit higher than contentment. And, you know, but I want to live at that level. So it's just a choice. And it took me decades to figure out that it's just a choice.
I'm thrilled that you're here to share that with us, because we have a lot of homeschoolers who listen to this program. We have a lot of young people in college classes and in school classes who listen. And I think that kind of wisdom, I mean, you can learn things by making mistakes, or you can learn things by listening to mentors, you know, right? Like someone else tells you. And I think those kind of life lessons are really precious to our youth and our young friends, because we can stumble around. We can make mistakes, or we can listen to wisdom. and live better. Go ahead. Yeah.
You do need to stumble around. You do need to make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's how you know. But what I would like to say is listen to, it's not just your body, but listen to your response to a situation.
Okay.
Because you go out and you make a mistake. How do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Are you know, sometimes mistakes lead to absolute magic.
Absolutely.
Especially
yes.
in the Miracles, especially in the creative world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you feel? Just trust yourself. Nobody else has answers for you. That's
mm-hmm.
the huge one for me. I think our educational system tends to say, hey, and yay for the homeschoolers. But our
We love you.
Our educational system tends to say, these are the answers. Swallow this pill. You know, do your job, whatever. So I think the importance is checking in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know the answers to something, if it feels good or not, if it's right or not. For you, you are the only one who knows you.
Mm-hmm.
Check in.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that so much, because so often I think we're taught to deny ourselves and what we want and what we're feeling. And people call it things like responsibility, or, you know, you just should be normal. You should do what everyone else is doing. And it causes us then to suppress parts of ourselves and suppress our dreams and goals and visions. And I think about an elder that I had the privilege to be with, elder at the end of their life. And all of a sudden, she grabbed my hand and she said, I never wanted to do this. I wanted to be an artist. And I didn't quite know what to say, because I didn't want her family to, you know, be upset or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, like that. She said, so you do what you want to do, whatever that is. And she laid back down on the pillow.
Yeah.
And I never mentioned that to anyone until just now, to you.
I mean, I'm not saying her life was wasted, but for her... But the relationship between her and herself, her life was wasted.
How
painful. In that she, exactly. And imagine the voice. I mean, if she was a beautiful person that brought a ton of value to all these people around her, imagine how much more she would have brought if she had followed the thing that really brought her joy.
Right. Right.
Mm.
And we appreciate her. What a wonderful person. What a great life. But what if she could have had a great life? See,
what
I
if?
Think we make it into a dichotomy, either or. You know, I'm either going to do this or I'm going to do that. And sometimes things are seasonal. You know, like sometimes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, sometimes you're doing wonderful things and sometimes you're doing different but wonderful things. And I think when we set people free, then she could have had that very same life. And been an artist. She could have, I don't know, or whatever it is that she dreamed of doing. I don't think that's all mutually exclusive. I think sometimes we're able to have wonderful levels of different experiences, or levels even of the same experience on a deeper level. But we have to, again, check in with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard work, I think, to deny ourselves all the time.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, it would be. It really would be. And so, what? I know creativity is a state of mind, and curiosity is a state of mind, and both of them are callings and part of our souls. But what are some of the ways that your curiosity and creativity manifest in this world?
Well, I have to say, at the moment, I'm obsessed with. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I'm obsessed with tree frogs.
Oh.
For whatever reason, I always have them, but for whatever reason, I have so many tree frogs this year. So for me, I'm trying to get good photos without interrupting them. I'm trying to figure out. I just found out this morning a bunch of them live in my broom, which is why, you know, the center handle. Because I kept brushing them when I was sweeping, and I'm like, where are they? I didn't see them. Where are they coming from? And I thought, okay, they're living in my broom, right? So I'm curious. I'm curious about where these guys are during the day, what they're doing, what they eat. So now I've started doing all this research. I'm doing all these photos. My Facebook page is public. Feel free to go look, Hayden Starbuck. I'm obsessed with tree frogs at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is answering your question, but for
absolutely.
Me, and see, seasonal. So the tree frogs won't be around later, but they're
right.
here now. So
right.
at this moment in time, my entire, any free time I have, I'm like, hi guys, how you doing? What you doing? Where are you? You know, and,
yeah.
and then I have different areas of my property. So it's like, why do some live over here and some over here? Is this like the hot spot? Are these like
right.
the cool frogs?
The suburbs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
you know, and
wow.
and then the relationship between my dog and my goat and the frogs. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I can go on and on about
well, this
that,
is fascinating.
But,
I mean, I see a children's book in the making right away.
So. Oh, exactly.
Oh, how amazing. And see, we're right in Cherokee, North Carolina, which is my hometown. We're right in the middle of the monarch and the hummingbird migration.
Oh, hello.
And so we have, like, you know, clouds of monarchs and clouds of hummingbirds. And it's just that same sort of feeling of who are you? I know, I mean, I
yeah.
know you're a hummingbird, but, you know, why is it that these
yeah.
hummingbirds eat over here and these eat over here and these are willing to come around and bump into people and these are like, no,
yeah.
I don't think so. So isn't that wonderful to find such a invigoration in the world around
yeah.
you?
And they're different colors. And,
oh.
I mean, because the tree frogs, they're all the same species, but they're all different colors.
Right.
It's like personal expression. I'm totally anthropomorphizing, but, you know, yeah,
well, maybe.
It's wondrous. When you were speaking, the word that kept coming to mind was wonder.
Uh-huh.
Just
yes.
that awe of, like, wow. There. I mean, we are surrounded by so much beauty. We
oh,
really are.
Yes.
And to
yes.
just stop and engage with it and to acknowledge it and to be present with it, I think is huge.
I really am glad you said that because I think we have lots of counterfeits and substitutes for wonder.
Mm.
You know, we have things that, you know, we have excitement, we have perhaps, you know, in the digital age, we have things that mimic wonder. But there is something just amazing and breathtaking about walking into the middle of something that makes you wonder, literally, and marvel at things, you know, and that is what you're privileged to do. And all of us can have that experience, maybe not with tree frogs,
yeah.
but we can have that experience with something in our lives. And I just pray that we don't become jaded and unable
yeah.
to really recognize when something should give us that sense of wonder. So when you have those sorts of experiences, like this great tree frog escapade and things like that, what does it do for your creativity?
Yeah, well, it feeds it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't necessarily, I'm not someone who sticks to a particular medium. I
mm-hmm.
kind of follow, and I love photography, and now with cell phones, oh my gosh, it's just so darn easy. But yeah, I think it's just a flame. It
mm-hmm.
it makes me excited to be in the world and interact with it, and how can I bring the beauty that I see
yeah.
into my work. Now, I'm not going to maybe do frog images
mm-hmm.
in my jewelry,
mm-hmm.
but I'm as passionate about rocks as I am about frogs. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's all part of the same because it's all me. So if
yeah.
I can raise my energy, then it's going to come, it's just going to come out everywhere in all parts of my life.
Yes. Yes. And I love that you are willing to let it come out. You know, I think there's so much that we lose in a culture, dominant culture, that says we have to play it cool. We have to be cool. We have to be, you know. Yeah. So you
yeah.
can't just go, wow, did you just see that? You know, or this is amazing, you know, and oh my goodness, you know. And that's why preschoolers are so wonderful. Because they're still willing
oh, yeah.
to clap for things. They're still willing to, you know, point and show you something that is amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about saying, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. No, no,
well,
we can see it. It's marvelous.
So here's a question for you. So in teaching children art,
mm-hmm.
I it's very interesting. Where is that moment in their growth and their socializing that they stop going, hey, let's try it. This is fun. No inner critic. And then that moment where the inner critic goes, oh, I shouldn't do that. I can't do that. Mine's not as good as Susie's. Mm-hmm. You know, we're teaching adults is so much harder than teaching children. Mm-hmm. You know, where is that moment? If you can go back to before, you just have that sensor, your inner sensor going, you know, you can't yell and scream and be happy about something.
Right. That's an excellent point. I mean, as an Indigenous woman, I know we have no word for art. Art is everything you are and everything that you
Perfect.
Do. And I don't see that in Indigenous communities. Like, we recognize that some artists can go to a juried show and win a prize.
Right.
But lots of people make beadwork. Lots of people. Mm-hmm. There are people who make outstanding beadwork and it ends up in a museum somewhere, you know, at the herd or something. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who make beadwork and their daughter-in-law wears it to the family barbecue.
Yep.
And they never, and I don't see that same competition. I don't see that same kind of self sabotage, you know, oh, I'm no good at this. I'm throwing this back in the drawer, you know, or I'm not perfect at this. And I wonder if it's because of the purpose. If my purpose is to tell you something, and that's the purpose of most preschoolers, they draw you a picture, and then you say, oh, tell me about your picture,
right?
And it's because they wanted to show you something that's in their mind or that they like in the world or something. Or, once again, preschoolers, they're drawing it to show you love. I drew this for you. I made this for you.
Aww.
And that's all it is. Right? It's not like I made this for you and you can take it over to the Louvre when you have time or El Prado when you have time, you know. It's like, you know, this is just my love for you in this moment, and I expressed it with these crayons. And I wonder if that's part of the Indigenous way of art, too. I made you this because I love you, or I made this for you because I wanted to help you to look beautiful for a special ceremony or occasion, and or I made this for you simply because I know how to make things and I wanted to make it for you. Or I made this because I like making things. And that's very different, I think, than perhaps the Western education system, which takes kids into art class. And rather than saying, you know, art is for a lot of things. Art is for expression.
Yeah.
Art is for fun. Art is, you're bored. You need something to do that's, you know, art is for a lot of things other than just let us all go look at this framed portrait in a museum. And I wonder if maybe that's the difference, that when art is just when art is just about, did you get the line and the scale correct?
Right.
Then, no, I don't want to do this because, no, I didn't. And, you know, I probably never will.
Exactly.
You know? And yet, one day, our preschooler or toddler wanted me to draw with him. And I said, oh, I'm not a very good drawer. You're a good drawer, but I can't draw. And because I've always been told I can't draw, and I can't draw. So I said, oh, I can't draw. And he looked so concerned. I mean, like, he looked concerned.
Oh.
Like, oh, his little face. Is just, and he hugged me and gave me a kiss, and he said, yes, you can.
Oh.
And I drew something. And, you know, it's probably not, I'm going to just, you know, spoiler alert, it's probably not going to be, you know, in any art textbooks that you might get. But I drew it, and he drew something. I drew part of the picture, and he drew the rest of the picture, and we drew it together.
Oh.
And I think it's the best picture ever, just for that reason.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, this is why I have a podcast on creativity.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to show people that, It like you said, the Louvre, it's not the stuff that's going to be in textbooks. It's not that. It's creativity is just, it's like how we are and who we are. And look at that beautiful moment
mm-hmm.
that you got with your kid. I mean, come on. That's like a whole life juiciness all rolled into one moment that you'll carry forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so thankful that you said that, because I think maybe that's how we give people their creativity back.
Yeah.
But it isn't really about what you make or do or don't or don't know how to do. It's really about those moments that make your life wonderful. And how can we have more of those? And I love what you're saying, because I think many people who listen to your podcast right now are going to be set free. They're going to be changed. Yeah. They're going to just feel free in whatever area their life is. You know, what is it? I don't know. Yeah. But they're going to see the creativity, and they're going to be curious. They're going to have that curiosity that you talked about, and they're not going to self-censor it.
It's like an inner shift.
Yes. Yes.
Also, I wonder, when you're talking about the kids and the, you know, them painting and doing stuff, I also kind of wonder if it's about the stories that we carry around in ourselves, you know, and how we, because we all do, we all have stories. And how do we express those stories? How do we bring them into the world? Some people are going to do it through visual art. Some people are going to do it through, you know, griping at their friends over coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what are the stories you want to tell, and how do you want to tell them? How,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
what's your way of expressing that?
That is so important, and I'm so happy you just said that, because your podcast I see as a way of allowing those stories to go out into the world. And I would just love to know, what motivated you to start your podcast? How did you start it?
I'd like to start by saying I'm the kind of person, only child, I could easily be just set on a desert island with a bunch of frogs and be happy for the rest of my life. So the fact that I'm now in the public arena is I did not see this coming. But what happened was, during the lockdown, we're still talking about it, yes?
Yeah.
The things that were so valuable to me were the conversations I was having my friends about, you know, how we were processing stuff and how it was affecting our work.
That's right.
And it just kind of lifting each other up. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I wish people could hear us.
Yes,
I wish
right.
There was a way to share this.
Yeah.
So I started the podcast. Have any of those friends been on my podcast? No, they have not. but I have met people from all over, like you. I would have never met you any other way.
Right.
So how cool. It's like we're making connections and networks by just stepping out. And like you said, I'm just hearing people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It really is. I really, and of course that resonates. I mean, the name of the show is A Conversation with Dawn Karima. So literally, like, you know, I understand the value of that when you're bringing conversations and allowing other people to hear and to interact with those conversations. And I think that's really precious. I have to pay a few bills with these commercials, but when we come right back, I'm going to ask you, what's your story? And we'd all love to hear.
Oh, boy.
It. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jeff. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
savor. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all and never look back once the war forgets.
We are so blessed and highly favored to have this great guest with us today. This is an amazing conversation about creativity and curiosity and all of the things in between. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Sure. I feel like being a different person this time. Just
okay.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
We should talk about imagination in this next part.
Sure.
My name is Hayden Starbuck. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I am an animal and nature and creative junkie.
Mm. What a wonderful life. And you host a podcast,
yep.
And you also have public social media. So I want to make sure that you tell folks how to follow you, connect with you, and be part of your world.
Yeah, so my name, Hayden Starbuck, H-A-D-E-N-S-T-A-R-B-U-C-K. A little unusual. There's not many of me out there in Google land, so feel free to Google. My main website, although I'm trying to remake some stuff at the moment, is Creatrix Compass. You can search for that or search for the Curious Creatrix. I really don't spend time on social media. I kind of drop information and run. It feels like a waste of time for me personally. I know some people get off on it, but no thanks.
Well, this is wonderful. So people can connect with your world and enjoy what you are sharing. Is there a part of your story or your journey that you would like to share with us today?
Oh, it's funny when you were talking about sort of the indigenous difference versus the Western difference of perceiving art and creativity. I will say I'm a Caucasian woman, obviously a woman. When I decided to go to art school, the thing my dad said, my parents have always been supportive, but with a caveat, he said, as long as you don't give me anything you make.
Oh,
he said, people keep giving us art and we don't want it.
Oh, wow.
So, And my grandmother, who was a painter, all my family is creative, but obviously they don't honor it very well, right? My grandmother said, oh, you'll grow out of that.
Wow.
So part of my story is me chasing happiness, and obviously I don't need to please these people, but it still stings, of course, even though I'm in my 50s now. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, I looked at the world and it was like, I knew that I didn't want to do what my folks were doing. I didn't want to be a desk jockey.
Mm-hmm.
I spent my whole life, not maybe it hasn't been the straightest of lines, but I spent my whole life just sort of pursuing contentment and peace and joy and love and curiosity and creativity. And here we are.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what the next 50 years
That's
or whatever.
Right. Yes. That's the great thing Hold. About
oh
an
my
adventure.
Gosh.
Yes, it's an adventure.
It's an adventure.
We can't wait to see what you do next either. But has there ever been a sacrifice or a trade-off for choosing your path?
I'm sure there is. I mean, there must be. But I can't really change the path, although I'm not sure time is linear.
No, I'm
but
not. I don't think
it is. Yeah, but still, I don't. That already happened. So whatever, what can I do from this moment? Because there's only this moment. So,
right.
Probably.
I think that's important to say, though. I do. Because we have, again, we have young friends listening. And I think one of the things that intimidates people so much when they're making decisions or paths is the idea that you might just get it all wrong. Right, and your whole life will be ruined. And I don't believe you can ruin your life. I really don't. I don't think you have that kind of power. I just don't. But I think it's important sometimes for people to hear that, that you can change, that you can grow, that you can make a mistake and it turns out to be what you should have been doing all along, just like whatever. I mean, and I think we need people bold enough to say that. As you said, the past is in the past. What do we do now? That forward motion. And I love it when people are able to say that, that they transformed their lives in some way, big or small. You know, doesn't always have to be,
well,
you know,
conscious, conscious choices.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest lessons actually for me has been from improv.
Oh, okay.
When you're doing improv, it's like, let's imagine it's on a stage and there's an audience, whatever, you've got two people. Well, a conversation, what we're doing now is improv, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Where this goes, you could bring up something really random and we could talk about that. Life is just improv. You're here, you've got a cast of characters, or you don't, you do, mm-hmm. They're, even if they're tree frogs.
Right.
You know, what's the conversation? What are you having for lunch? It's just all improv.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to get it all, and you're never going to not get it all.
Right. Yes.
Are you happy?
Yes. Yes. And really, at the end of it all, only you can determine that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think...
What's your value system?
What is your value? Yeah. How does this line up with who you want to be and who you believe, you know, you want to be? And I think that's a powerful thing to say, especially since we have a world telling you something different, that everybody should dress in these clothes from these stores, and everybody should like these things and participate in these things, and these are the hobbies that are cool, and these are the dance steps that work, you know?
Right.
And, I thought, wow, you know, when you said that just now, it was beautiful, because we've got so much to be thankful for. So much beauty surrounding us. I mean, each one of us, all of us, not just us. I mean, just everyone does.
Yeah.
And if we miss that because we're intimidated or fearful or other people, you know, sort of try to make us conform, wouldn't that be a shame?
Yes. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is if you are in a place where you're really in touch with yourself, and you have a good relationship with yourself, your creativity, your curiosity, your intuition, imagination, all of that. The world, I mean, you are just offering so much more to the world. I mean, imagine if we all came from that.
Yeah.
We would be able to honor and value everybody else more.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. But people don't love themselves. They don't honor themselves. And, oh my gosh, that causes a lot of problems.
Yes, it does.
If you can't treat yourself well, odds are you're not going to treat anyone else any better. Or
and
it's
maybe,
not going to be authentic.
Right, you know? That's right. You're right. Oh, wow. Do you think maybe that's what the problem is? We keep saying, love one another. You know, show empathy. Be kind to other people. And maybe why that's not always working is because we, as a culture, don't know how to be kind to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yes, I can love somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until I really understand and love and appreciate myself, I maybe will put up with somebody else treating me poorly.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that inner gauge to go, hey, that's not okay. That doesn't work for me. Back off. I really think it all starts from within. And the thing is, we are all connected. If COVID has not shown people that,
right.
I think some people still haven't gotten it.
But
we are all connected. So if you walk into a room with a bunch of grumpy people, you're going to feel it. If you walk into a room with a bunch of happy people, you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can work on your inner self, I totally think that's going to... Yeah, yummy stuff.
Yes, and see, this is the wonderful thing about creativity. I believe creativity shows you right away a great way to love yourself. Because when you're expressing it by doing what you love, you are loving yourself. So, you know, if you love to do something and you're doing it, your soul feels that like a big hug, you know, like a wonderful love, you know, oh, wow, I love it. And that's why people feel refreshed after they do things that they like. You know, that's why, you know, people go out and play a round of golf and come back, I had a great day, you know, as opposed to I had a horrible day. Well, when you ask people, wow, you had a horrible day? What did you do? It's usually not their favorite things. They usually didn't have a horrible day spending it with their favorite people. And so that's what I see as almost a jump start to that self-love, is to express that creativity that you so masterfully told us about. Because then, you feel that love. You're recharged and refreshed and inspired. And then you can, those vibes can go out and love other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's
what
how you change your world.
There you go. There you go. And so what have you learned on your journey that you want to share with us?
Oh, geez. That, condense it all down. can I say one more thing first that just dawned on me when you were talking, is that for me, sometimes I create stuff that, it, you know, the public's never going to see it. It's not for sale. I've got my professional creativity. I've got my private. But sometimes the things I create tell me how I'm doing, or they help me release things.
Yeah.
Like anytime a relationship splits up or I have something weird, I collage. Don't ask me why. It's just
I love collage.
I've got to do this. Right?
Yeah, I love it. Yes.
It's primal. It takes me back to kindergarten with like cutting things out of newspaper, whatever, glue sticks, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So creativity as a healing process as well. I mean, I think it has so much. It's not about the end product, right? It's about the act of doing and being and just being human.
Yes. Yes. And
but
I'm really glad that you said that, because I think that medicine, art is medicine.
Medicine, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in indigenous culture, we talk a lot about good medicine. And it's not just, here is something from a pharmacy. It is singing, dancing. And in fact, when you go to speak to some of our medicine men and midwives and medicine women, and you tell them, you know, you're just feeling like you don't feel well, or you're not, you know, blah, blah, a lot of times, the prescription they give you, they may give you some herbs and they may tell you to take a walk or do something. I mean, they may have something like that. But a lot of times, they'll want to find out if you're singing. Are you dancing?
Oh.
Are you making anything? You know, I know you did a lot of beadwork. Are you doing that now? Oh, no, I haven't had time, you know. And they'll tell you to pick it back up. You know, are you singing? Well, no, not really that much. No. Oh, well. And that's the medicine. That's legit, the prescription. You know, it's not, you know, and there's nothing wrong with any other kind of medicine. I'm just saying, and a lot of times, one of the things they'll start talking to you about if you just feel out of sorts or whatever. And there's a wonderful study that was done about the fact that many indigenous cultures don't have postpartum depression. And that's, you know, and they were tying it to the fact that, yes, community is a big part of it. You have so much help and so many people who love you, but also because there are all of these things that need to be made. People are spending time making things for the baby, and you're making things for them that are sacred and part of the tradition. And I wonder if there's a connection between that. You know, the healing of art and medicine. There are all these songs that you have to learn and things that you have to learn and teach to your baby and all of that. And I wonder if there's just some good medicine in that. And I'm not saying don't seek medical help. I'm not saying there's not such a thing as legitimate medical conditions. That's not my point.
No.
But I wonder if sometimes that creativity is a balm for our souls.
Oh, yes. And I don't know how my mom feels about me telling this story. She's been gone for a while, but I watched her kill herself mentally. Mm. She wasn't an alcoholic. She wasn't whatever, but she just held so much stuff inside.
Oh.
And it turned to cancer. Surprise,
oh,
surprise.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was an interesting thing to watch. I mean, that's her journey. That's not my journey, right? That's her choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this is where all cancers come from, but for me, watching her, I can tell that she just, you know, like a oyster with a pearl. She just like, and eventually that translates into illness in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not I don't want cancer.
No, of course.
So I love that, the singing and the dancing, and that's medicine. Oh, that's beautiful. There we go. There's all my wisdom that, yeah, that you also have.
Oh,
you ask me what I've learned. It's like, there it is.
And I'm so, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that, letting it out. Yeah. And, you know, there's so many cultures. The blues, for example, I mean, that's just therapy right there. They just, you know, pick up an instrument,
yeah,
and put out all the pain that you have been, you know. And, you know, of course, in Appalachia, the mountain ballads and things like that, that's just how you detox, you know. Like, the coal mine was terrible today. Let me get this out of my system with this banjo, you know.
Exactly.
And so,
well, and I think
go ahead.
We're all energy, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
stagnant energy, So yeah, letting it flow. I mean, think of a river. It's like it's gonna go. Yeah, it's gonna hit rocks and it's gonna go around the rocks, but it's gotta move. That energy's gotta move.
That's right. That's right. And good energy has to move too. Because one of the things good mm-hmm. energy does is it flows into other people's lives and uplifts
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
I would love it. I would be so honored. We only have a few minutes left of this great conversation, but I want to hand you the mic. And I'd like it if you'd speak directly to our friends who are listening, just from your heart, and share with them anything that you want them to know about curiosity, creativity, art, life in general. This is your moment.
Yeah, not to bring up something kind of weird, but when a particular president got elected into office that was very difficult for me,
mm-hmm.
I realized that there was nothing I could do on that big arena. But mm-hmm. what I could do, my power was in my life and in my person. Since mm-hmm. we are all connected, what could I do with my energy and my thoughts and my intention and my love?
Mm-hmm.
What could I do as my individual? Because that's all I can. I was going to use the word control. I don't like that word, but that's where my power was.
Right.
So to wake up to your own being and to honor it and to just be the best you. And you know, oh my gosh, you know when you are, you know the difference, how it feels when you're feeling
yeah.
yucky or when you're feeling really empowered and inspired,
mm-hmm.
that's the happy place. That's the sweet spot. So I aim for that as often as possible.
That's right. And we all will too. Thank you so much for having this conversation with us. We loved every minute of what you shared with us and just giving us that wonderful insight and all these wonderful insights. That's good medicine right there.
Good medicine. We like good medicine. Now I want to go sing and dance and play with my frogs.
That's exactly what you should do. And we will all create and be curious and be inspired to share that good
Yay.
Medicine and good energy with everybody around us. I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to this show. I'm so grateful for you and everyone who makes this show possible. You know, it's a labor of love. And without your help and without your listening and your friendship and all of those good prayers and everything, we couldn't do it. And so we're grateful to you. And we're grateful for you. And we're so thankful for our guest today. And I can't wait until we're all together next time. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. And in case, I hope somebody has said this to you today, but just in case nobody has, we love you. And our Creator does too. We'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. Ain't never look back once the world forgave you. She's silent.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back once the world forgave her.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.